Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on PGN. It's Tuesday evening. This is Deborah with you here this evening. It is October, the middle of October. Anyways, good to be here. Glad that you're joining us. And thank you for being here. Yeah, for bringing your faith and your joy and your presence with you this evening. So praise God, praise God. Hey, so, you know, how the Lord can speak and does speak prophetically and speak in nature and show us different things in that. Well, as I was preparing this, I had walked by the back window by the fence there. We have like four bird feeders out there. And there were two doves sitting there. And it was interesting because the two doves were sitting facing the house and facing the window. So I see them in various ways, like a lot of times in the feeder, where they like to even eat the seed that gets knocked out on the ground. And but I just thought it was interesting and of the spirit that they were both sitting there looking directly into the house, which is actually the opposite way of the feeders. So I thought that it just stopped me in my tracks. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get my glasses on and let's get started. So I was pondering something even this week again, and I was I don't know where to start here. And the, I'm not sure where, so let's start here. And we're going to just stay in the Gospels, mostly New Testament, and Luke 24, just for references. I'm not going to read all of it. For references, Luke 24 first talks about the resurrection, okay? And then it goes in to talk about the road to Emmaus, okay? So now in the road to Emmaus, I just want to highlight a few things and make a few points here, is that on the road to Emmaus, you know, they were brokenhearted, right? And that they were walking and they didn't understand how this stranger, you know, he must have been a stranger visiting from Jerusalem, who it was, Jesus, right? So their eyes were closed to who he was, right? So for 7 miles from Jerusalem, okay? But, and then he starts asking him about them. They start telling him about him, which is interesting, you know? Do you ever, it's just interesting. Okay, I don't want to get off track. Hold on, my earbuds coming out there. So, however, he walks with them, and they don't see him or recognize him clearly until their eyes were opened suddenly by God. That is in verse 31, that it says that their eyes were open. Okay, so I just want to make note of a couple things here. He's talking about the resurrection, which is very important. He's walking with the disciples. This is still happening within the community, within the nation, and all of Jerusalem knows, right? All of Israel had been waiting for a redeemer. So it's very widespread, okay? And then they began, they were asking, oh, has the Lord really risen? And then it goes on to talk about, still, again, Luke 24, other appearances of Christ. So then it says, while they were still talking, Christ himself suddenly stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. This is verse 36. Okay. Verse 36. Peace. This is the word that I want to emphasize tonight, because all of these verses that I'm going to be reading this evening all are the same meaning and the same understanding and the Greek definition. It's like the word peace is used like 92 times, referenced out 92 times, and it's the Greek G1515, okay, all the same. Peace be to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled? And why do your doubts arise in your hearts? So look at my marks and my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, the spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Then he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything which has been written about me in the law of the prophets and the writing of the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Wow, that's amazing. Then he opened their minds and helped them understand the scriptures. Okay, so first he opened their eyes. That's what we read earlier. And then here in verse 45, it says he opened their minds. And then later on, he tells them to wait there, to listen carefully. "I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit." Okay, so the Holy Spirit does carry this peace, okay, that he gives us. This is where we're leading to, the Holy Spirit upon you. But remain here, okay, until you are clothed or fully equipped with power from on high. So fully equipped. And this is essential as we go out. And we actually become Jesus's hands and feet, right? Where they thought it was nailed and done away with, it is not. You carry his power, his peace, his righteousness wherever you go. And we occupy the land. Okay, so it all does have to do with the resurrection and then the promise of the Holy Spirit and this peace. So Jesus declared it to them, that he is peace, and the whole fulfillment of the law and Moses, the prophets, all of it has been fulfilled. And then we go to John 16. Let me just go here. Hold on 1 second. Oh, John 16. He's talking about his peace. So what's interesting that I'm finding in scripture here is that with this peace, Jesus actually gave us his peace to actually prepare us to go and to be into the and to go into the world. And this peace is a preparation for us. Okay, so the first part of John 16, he's talking about, it's warning the people. He's telling these things so that they don't stumble or get off guard, you know, so he's telling that. Then he talks about the Holy Spirit that's promised, which is very good. And I'm just going to read verse 12. And so, "I have many more things to say to you, but I cannot bear to hear them." But you cannot bear to hear them now. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you," that's you and me, "into all truth, full and complete truth." This is why it's so important to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. "For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future." This is so important. "And he will glorify and honor me." This is important too, because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. Well, thank you very much. "All things that the Father has are mine. Because of this, I said that he, the Spirit, will take from what's mine and reveal it to you." So praise God. Generous Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he talks about, again, the death of Jesus and is foretold of the resurrection, okay? And then he talks about prayer promises. And we do want to pray in spirit, right? So it says the Father is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? So this is part, we have the Holy Spirit, and we want to do this in truth. And the promises in John 16, 23 through 32. Okay, and so he's talking about, "In that day you will not need to," okay, so just "ask anything in his name with the, as his representative, he will give it to you." Okay, so verse 33, let's just jump down there. It says, let's go 29, because this is important of how he prepares us. He's such a good father that he's prepared. He prepares the disciples for his death and resurrection and crucifixion, right? He's even preparing them for that, what is to come, and what, you know, what gain they're going to have for even letting him go to the Father. It's going to be for our gain. And if we love him, we will let him go because he's going to be sending us the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, and so 29, it says, his disciples said, oh, no, now you are speaking to us plainly and not in figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? 32, take careful notice, I'm reading in the Amplified, an hour is coming and has arrived when you will be scattered, each from his own home, leaving me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. 33, I have told you these things. Okay, you can go back and read verses 1 through 32 and find out what are the things that he just told them that we need to know as well, right? Some of them I did capture there. So that you may have peace. Preparation of what Jesus tells us, the preparation of things to come. The peace is our guide. It's important that we have this peace because it's in preparation of the things that he's declared and what we already know in scripture and are capitalized or the things to come is he's given us his peace, which means he's prepared us. He's prepared us for us. He's equipping us and preparing us for it with his peace, and goes on to say, in this world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding, which is very cool. Okay, so that's the Amplified. So in there, let me just... let me go back to where I can see you guys. Okay, there we go. So there we have, here's a couple other verses in the New Testament on peace, okay? So his peace is to prepare us for the things that we have in this world, okay? The things that we go through in this world. Okay, I didn't read this part, though. The Greek, what it means to have peace in the Greek. This is the definition of it. A state of national tranquility, exemption from rage and havoc of war between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. So you don't want to be a disruptor to that. You don't want to be sowing discord. You can see why that would be so discord or dissensions. You would see how that would be of the enemy and not of God. Okay, I had an example of that today. That's why I mentioned that one. Of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to peace of Christianity, the tranquil state of the soul assures us of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot and whatsoever sort that is, the blessed state of a devout and upright man after death. Okay, so exemption, let me just go back to this, exemption from rage and havoc of war. So although we could be going through, you know, experiencing someone near us could have some sort of rage, or we could experience havoc of war, that is, you know, but even havoc. And sometimes it might not feel like that we are an exemption from it. Not that we're the ones participating in it, but we're being pulled into it from the other person's symptoms, if you will, because their source is not from God. They're not getting a source that's from God, okay? Or belief system as well, reacting out of a belief system that is not, which is a whole different thing, but not different, but just a more complicated. However, in the midst of it, because you might not feel exempt, like, hey, why is there so much havoc going on around me? And you don't feel exempt from it, but you're not the one you're not the agitator, if you will. You're not the one creating it, yet you don't feel exempt. And I felt like that today. And I had to realize that, and then when the truth finally came to the table of where I was participating actually in the lie of the enemy, is what was happening with me. I was believing a lie of the enemy. And once I realized that, I said, I wasted a lot of really good energy, trying to, but the enemy, here's the lie of the enemy. Okay, I got to reach for a different note there. The enemy sometimes can be causing you certain things, like certain feelings of self-consciousness, embarrassment, shame, awkwardness. The enemy can get in there and try to turn things over in you when other people are having havoc, whatever that might be. It could be that the enemy is lying and causing you to believe these lies that actually, and it might even be, to be honest, now that I think about it and say that, it might even be something that the person creating the havoc is actually having, and you're picking up on that. Yeah, that could be it. Let me say, I was wondering how this came together, but this week, I had found, this past week, I had found two pennies on the road, and I knew it was double like that. I was like, I'm going to look up what a penny is, just on my path, on my regular walking, came across a penny, and two scepter of light or healing power, transmits heat and sound, and also has to do with favor. So there's a lesson for me too. I probably should have took authority over some of that stuff, but it was just so loud in my head and so disruptive, it seemed like it was dismantling my peace, to be honest, because I thought, wow, this is like a trial to go through. Is I going to talk about peace? Okay, but then seeing on the road to Emmaus, right, and that they were there, the ones, that the disciples in the upper room, you know, through the circumstances and different things, and Jesus is not, he's giving them and equipping them until they're fully equipped, okay, with this peace. What does he do in Luke 24, John 16? He opens their eyes, okay, he did that, when he broke bread with them after the road to Emmaus, he opened their eyes when he broke the bread, but their hearts were burning. Something was telling them within them, the spirit was working within them, okay? And then he opened their minds in Luke 24. So let's just keep that in mind. And then they stayed. He said to stay there until they were equipped with the power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay, before they left to go out. And so also, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. So it is more, he's the compass and the gauge. So even today, I was still coming back to and still leaning on Christ and relying on him and coming back to them, him, that I knew it wasn't going to settle there, you know, and that that's not who I was. And there was this disruption happening, and I was walking in as much righteousness, his righteousness, as I could, which is like moral character and, godly character, okay? But it's the compass that brings us back. It's the compass that brings us back in that chaos. And then Hebrews 13 says, now may the God of peace, the source of serenity and spiritual well-being, who brought up out of the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood that sealed and ratified the eternal covenant. So let's read too, when we're reading the peace, what it is that the peace equips us with, right? Serenity and spiritual well-being. The peace of Christ, it's inner calm, one who walks daily with him, right? So drawing closer to him. That's part of our priestly identity, is getting closer to God and closer to God. And then John 14, 16 and 17. Listen to this one here too, because the Holy Spirit, right, is all powerful, all knowing, and ever present. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Says, here's the role of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus asking the Father in John 14, 16, 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and standby to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him. But you, my friends, know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. So this here, this is beautiful, right? This is, you know, if you take, excuse me, a water bottle, and you have one of those like crystal, I don't know, like the, is it Crystal Light or something, the commercials, the little packages that you add to the water, a flavored water, or even iced tea or whatever it might be, but the little packages, and you take the package and you pour it into the powdery package, into the bottled water, and then, right, you have two contents there, and then you shake it up, and you shake it up and shake it up until they're fully mixed and completely together. Well, the flavored powdery substance is now within the water, and it's hard to tell the water from the substance, the flavoring of it. They're just mixed. It's within it. It is now within it, and there's no separation, and is there forever. You can't unseparate it, and it's hard to tell, well, where one starts and the other begins, right? It is now within. It is now within and abiding. And you know the verse, I know everyone's very, very familiar with this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, right? So he could have even told his disciples this. But in everything, amplified again, every circumstance and situation, and this is what Jesus did, is he revealed himself to his disciples in every circumstance and situation. There were not easy things that were happening that Jesus came to them and showed himself to them and promised his Holy Spirit, equipped them, you know, and even gave them warnings and when to say, instructed them and guided them. And then he's states, I'm going to give you this Spirit of Truth that's going to be with you. It's going to speak for me, and it's going to guide you. And the promises of prayer and to go, really, these are some last days. I myself, I even need to go back to actually probably listen to this myself. You know why? Because my notes are scattered, and I'm just asking the Lord, how does he want me to present? How does he want me to unfold this and to present it and to bring it forth? So that it could be not only encouraging, but equipping, but a, you know, yeah, equipping in a sense, you know, because what does the Holy Spirit in this peace, what does the peace offer us? What does it look like? Well, how is it sustainable? You know, how am I accessing it? How do I know? How is it measurable in my life? What can I do to access the Holy Spirit and get closer to God and to grow and to tap into this peace and to have this assurance? And when the chaos and the things, circumstances happen, I'm going back as the compass, you know, and even the default of my heart or the gauge of my heart. Where is my focus? Where is my heart? Where's my, you know, where are my thoughts? What am I looking at? Am I looking at just the symptom of the vortex of this person's, you know, emotional rot or whatever, you know, the person causing the disharmony and the discord? Am I just looking at that and trying to like, wait, hold on a second, you know, and kind of go back to that. So by prayer, here's our part, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, it means so it's, we can hardly even put it because of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We can hardly even put it into words how we're there. You know, I had a friend who had a brain tumor. Once she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she said she just, and I know another man who was actually diagnosed with cancer at a young age. He was a young boy. I think he was younger than 15. And, but my friend who got the brain tumor, she was, how old was she? She was maybe 50 something, 50s, I think. She had perfect peace. She didn't understand it. She knew that she knew it was very real. Same thing, the story with this gentleman. He had perfect peace. He had no idea why. I mean, his family even was upset with him that he wasn't upset. And he said he didn't know why. He just knew it was going to be okay. And he had no idea. I mean, he wasn't raised with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in his household. But God put his hand on him as a young man. This woman, the same thing. People were telling her, and she's a woman of faith, and she evangelizes and she prays. And people were telling her, Jan, you are just in denial. Can you believe it? Can you believe that? I can't even believe it. But they were just telling her, no, you're just in denial. You're in denial. You have a brain, you know. So people sometimes want to pull you into where their symptom is, right, where their fear is, where their doubt is. Hey, come on, you're not seeing this right, right? And sometimes they can do it. Some people can be very convincing. I'm going to tell you, worry is like yeast, and it can be very convincing. You gotta shake that off of you. It's like you do. You gotta shake it off of you. It's worry is like yeast. It can be very convincing. The Holy Spirit, even in that moment, okay. Oh, praise God. So she had the reassurance in her heart. This young man had the reassurance in his heart, something that's transcending understanding. And so the peace, also it tells us, it will guard over your hearts and your mind. So the peace will guard over your heart and your mind. So we're coming back to the mind, which Jesus opens the minds of the believers to understand Scripture. His peace can guard our minds. Do you want that? I want that, right? I want to guard it. I don't want to have another day like I had today, you know, with this havoc, this thing, and people pulling me into their symptoms and then feeling like, which on me, my growth area would be feeling like I need to not justify it, but explain it or, you know, anything like that. So it's what the Lord defends and the Lord speak. And let his peace, you know, right, and walking through my prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Okay, so the peace of God can also sanctify us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And by all means, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Okay, so praise God for that. And then the last verse I wanted to read, this ending verse. Here, and this again, this is the Amplified, John 14:27. Everybody probably knows this verse, but it says, my peace I leave you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, and do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, so just like he said to the disciples in Emmaus, why are your hearts troubled? Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Okay, so he's preparing us. He is so rich and so generous and so kind and so steadfast and so faithful, so enduring. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. This is, you know, do you know what I'm going to do with this verse? I'm going to print this and give this. I'm going to put it on my mirror, and I'm going to put it on my mother-in-law's mirror. Okay. She has some challenges coming up, but she needs the peace of God to be with her, to rule and reign. We all do. You heard me tell you, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you, right? So just like he prepared the disciples and said, hey, his death, burial, and resurrection, he would rise again. He's telling us now that he's going to come back to us, okay? If you really loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going back to the Father. for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in me. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful that he would prepare them with this peace, prepare them with his words, with actions, and even with the understanding of this is why I'm telling you, so that when you see this take place, may this deposit be in your heart. May this understanding remain with you. And he's building them up for success, and then they are going to turn and build up the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom and grow in that and take their actions of asking, seeking, and knocking on how they can best glorify God in earth now as it was in heaven. One other note that I wanted to say is that I was pondering on was when Jesus said in John 16, for them in this world you'll have trouble, right? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so whatever is happening, because I had been thinking about that, and then today went through the little disruption, you know, and it wasn't even the whole day, but it was just a little like 2 hours, but or a chunk of hours there, but that was just one circumstance, right? And he's overcome the world. So he's saying, like, whatever we're facing, whatever, we literally have enough power to overcome the world. That's what he said. Take heart, because I've overcome the world. So in him, we have this victory. In him, we live victoriously. And in him, we can triumph. And we partake in his triumph, and we have communion as well. But we're partakers of triumphing over everything that this world could trouble us, and every circumstance, and even sorrow and suffering. We can overcome. And so that's good to know. It seems like that I have not tapped into that element of capacity. I mean, like, I'm thinking I have, like, barely 12% when I think of the range of overcoming the world and the things that I've overcome. You know, it just seems like a smaller capacity, like I haven't even tapped into the fullness, the full equipping and the full measure and the full stature of what Christ would have and how he would dwell. So my to continue as my priestly identity to draw closer and closer to the Lord, and to intercede and to pray and to ask. And, you know, what's interesting is in the Word, in one of those passages that I was reading, it was talking about that the world considered him an outcast. The world didn't believe, and they considered him the outcast when Christ himself came, and he came first and foremost for the outcast. That's who he came for first in bringing in the New Testament in the book of John, is he came for the outcast. But the world, because they didn't know him and disregarded him, they considered him the outcast. And he overcame the world. He overcame them. So this is how the enemy comes directly against a lie and a theme and a purpose of Christ. The enemy comes a direct hit to say, oh, no, you're not that. You're not that. You're not who you say you are. You're not equipped. You don't have faith. You know where, you know, see what I'm saying? You do. Okay, so let's pray. So I didn't realize for this evening, God, we just dedicate it to you, Lord. Let your name be lifted up, Father God. We thank you for the indwelling peace, Lord, that guides and guards and directs our hearts. God, give us comfort. Lord, give us guidance. Give us your assurance, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds. God, we ask that you open our eyes, Lord. You open our hearts, Father God, and you open our minds, Lord, to understand your word, to understand your revelation, Father God, to understand your peace, Lord, and to understand the power that we hold within, Lord, to be conduits, Father God, of your light and of your healing power to this world. And as we walk, God, in that each one matters, God, one cent, each person who's sent to us, Father, that matters, Lord, that we are, again, conductors of light and healing, Lord, that we, Lord, transmit your fire and your sound. God, let the favor of God be upon that, Lord, that we carry your sound, we carry your fire, we carry your light, and your healing power to this world as we walk about our day, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our feet are free, Lord, that they are not nailed, Lord, anywhere, God, that we have freedom. Lord, our hands are free. Lord, we are free in you with the peace to love even the thankless and the ungrateful, God, that we would press through with the peace and the power and the healing might of Christ, to be all that we're called to be, regardless of someone else's symptoms, Lord, someone else's reactions, someone else's wanting to trip us up, God, and even call us what we're not, God, as they called Jesus an outcast and hurled insults at him, God, that he even carried that on our cross, our behalf, God, on his cross, God, on our behalf, God, he carried that. They were hurled on him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for clearing our minds, God, clearing, open my mind, God, open our eyes, God, and even in prayer and praying your word, Lord, that they would be open to receive the fullness of your spirit, your full equipping of power from on high, God, that we would be clothed with that. Father, in Jesus' name, that we would break bread with you as the disciples did, God, that you opened their eyes when they took the bread, God. So we ask that, God, that you open our eyes to see, even through the chaos, God, that you would open our eyes in those moments, God. Bring us into new territory, into new boundaries, into places to occupy. For you, Father God, that we would clearly have your understanding, clearly step into those places, God, to bring order, to bring peace, to bring your peace, God, and to cause a dismantling and fragmenting the things of the enemy, God, that his pictures would be fragmented and stagnant and static. Would be static and fragmented, God, that we could clearly, God, tell the vision, God, we would have the vision to tell, Father God, that would clear the static and dismantle the fragments of the enemy, God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for walking through that, God, that you can multiply it, God. You multiply your disciples. You multiply your saints. You multiply the kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for increase and multiplication, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the things that people are bearing and the fruit you're preparing, God. And to bear witness to you, God, to bear and birth, God, things in the kingdom, Father, and things in prayer, God, burdens in prayer, Lord, and guiding and guarding and instructing and lifting up and building up the kingdom of God, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that we wouldn't let the malfunctions of other people's malfunctions deprave us or deprive us, however the word is, of really what you have for us, even on earth, God. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the earth, God, the earth that is under the feet of the person that is listening to this prayer, God, let that be their earth, God. Let that be the place that heaven touches earth, God, in the opening of the hands and the opening of the hearts and the opening of the eyes, God, and the minds, God, let your revelation fall on earth as it is in heaven, God. We thank you, Lord, for our priestly identity, our priestly calling, God, and the royalty, God, to be a royal priesthood for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks for letting me pray. Okay, let's go open up this phone line, 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Julia May from Alabama.
Hey, Julia May. Good evening. How are you? Oops, turning up. Sorry, I'm turning up the... I was turning up the wrong volume on my thing. Okay. Well, good evening. Good evening, Father. We thank you for Julia May, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, and just bring her to your altar, Lord, to your kingdom. We thank you for the life within her, Lord, in Jesus' name. We call forth the life of God that he's placed within you. We thank you for your breath, Lord. Thank you for your promises, God. Thank you for your spirit, Lord, and we thank you for the word, God. All of his life he has given and deposited unto you, that he's spoken, he's breathed, given power by the Holy Spirit, and he's created you fearfully and wonderfully. So it's all of your life, and then he gives all of his life for you. So the life of Christ is within you. And the life of Christ has created you. So we thank you, Father God, for the joining of the two together, God, and the rising up, God. See the Spirit stirring, Lord, and thank you for that, God, of stirring, making melody and harmony. Yeah, on earth as it is in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it's a harmony. The Spirit is stirring a harmony on earth as it is in heaven. And partly in that, too, Julia May, is our obedience. When we obey the word of God, there is a love factor in that because we're just doing it out of a heart of love. And the word even says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So even when he's not near, and even when we don't, just out of sheer, our minds know, so we don't do it. We do it out of obedience because we love him. It actually does draw us closer. There certainly is a mystery to obedience, you know, but I mean, a mystery in the sense of God knows how to reward it. And there's something that happens in the spiritual realm. We know that there's a gift and a good, and there certainly is that peace and that harmony when we walk in that, you know. But I see something stirring and something mixing. And I don't know, it could just be I'm seeing it as or it is very already active in your life, a part that is very active in your life to be obedient, you know, and to function out of your love towards his commandments. And again, it is a way, how to put that into words exactly, but it is a way that we do draw closer to the Lord is by even just obeying the word of God, because that's his will and that's his purpose. And just like he says, okay, so for example, and his word in John 4, where he says, the Father is speaking such, right? Those who will worship in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking seeking that. So if he finds that, his eye falls on that, and that's you, or that's me, and that's someone else listening, right? And spirit and truth, or that's even another church. I'm sure it's individually, corporately. He is pleased with that. So when the Father's pleased with it, even so when we're reading the word and we can see, because sometimes it'll clearly say, this is the will of the Lord, and this is the will of the Lord. So, that's the will of God. Well, I want to do that, you know, or this is the will and the purpose of God. And when we're doing that, we're doing it out of obedience, we're doing it out of love, and it is drawing us closer to God. And then when we ask and we have a personal need, he's very acquainted with us because we're very acquainted with his word. And he knows that we're going to take action on it and we're actually going to apply it. And I mean, he definitely has lots of grace for us when we make lots of mistakes as far as learning to walk in his word. and wanting to move towards that and move closer to him. Like today, it wasn't something that I willfully and deliberately did. It was like, oh man, it just exposed the enemy. And now, but the good thing is I can unpack that a little bit more in prayer. Okay, so that's separate. Okay, so it's not, it's when you are, so there's a lot of grace for that and growth, right? Truth is going to unfold and truth is going to sanctify me and establish my heart as blameless, okay, as I keep moving towards him. And, but so in those things, he is well pleased, you know, and even and this is an additional side note, is that so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, the enemy is trying to attack our faith because of our association with Christ, if you will. The enemy directly wants to take down Christ, but because he can't, he will indirectly wants to cause havoc and war through Christ's children and through his people and the things that he stewards and the things that he loves and belongs to him, right? We're sealed in redemption and we carry heaven in our heart. We're already seated in heavenly places and we carry that, and the enemy wants to disrupt that, but ultimately he wants to disrupt Christ's rule and reign, and he's going to do it through us. And first and foremost, he will attack our faith because that is what's most pleasing to the Lord. So, okay, that was a side note. But praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Julia May, God, this stirring, God, and this harmony that is happening between heaven and earth, God, we thank you for portals in her home, God, that you would open those up. God, we thank you, Lord, for just a pouring down and a raining afresh on her, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for that, and I thank you, and I just see, like, when refreshing comes to you, Julia May, it is specifically for a refreshing for you, even if, you know, it gets spilled over on other people, but it was specifically something that you drew from the Father to bring this refreshing, and you get it first and foremost, you know, and then it gets spilled over or splashed over onto others, but it was, however, like you pulled that down, if you will, from heaven, whether it be your prayer, your obedience, this harmony in the spirit, and in his breath, and just him living in you, and you in him, you know, abiding. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for that. I thank you for the picture of it, God. I thank you for the understanding, for bringing it forth, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for blessing her, God, with the things that she blesses you with, God. Thank you, God, and the things that with her hands. God, anoint her hands. Actually, anoint every listener's hands. In Jesus' name, God, will we carry your hands, God? Because we touch you and we know you and we have fellowship with you, God. Let those hands be anointed. God, we pray for the feet. Lord, where your word says that you let the feet, God, carry the gospel of peace to other people. God, let them be ministers in where they walk, in Jesus' name, even in their own homes, God, their own territory, God. We thank you, God, on earth as it is in heaven, God, the earth in which they walk, the earth in which they abide, you lead. Let them occupy, in Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Amen. So how are you doing?
Just fine.
Good. Good. Yeah, I'm just getting carried away in the spirit over here. That's okay. I said, I'm just getting carried away in the spirit over here, but that's okay.
You're just fine.
Praise the Lord. Good. So how, and how is everything in Alabama?
Oh, we dry. We dry up.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Just know that bad rain we had last week, so. You know, somebody kept saying, this rain, I said, please don't mention no rain, as we didn't have enough rain.
Oh, no. So are your temperatures getting warm again? Like, are you getting high temperatures?
Yes, it's
like
warm.
Summer temperatures?
It's not real hot, but it's much warmer than it has been, you know. Because I've talked to a friend in North Carolina. I mean, it's cold, and it's going to rain. I said, well, it's not cold here. I said, y'all keep that rain. We had that flooding last week. And, you know, some places got up to like 13 inches. And, you know, the worst rain we ever had. And we had four people out drowning, including a baby. That water was rushing.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow, I had no idea.
Car got swept away. But the water so, you know, quick, like by the time they turned the corner at the place, they said the water just grabbed the car and put it on the back, and they were trying to get to him and couldn't. And we went down the lake, so the car just floated by her house and then just went down. They found him the next day.
Wow, oh my goodness. Wow. That's sad.
Because
they had
rained
scary.
All day. I told him I never heard it rain sound like a waterfall. My friend said, like, sheets. I said, yeah. I said, it just like rained all day, off and on. I mean, heavy.
Wow. Yeah, it must have been if you got that much rain. Holy cow. I don't think I've ever seen that much. I mean, I've seen torrential downpours, but not where it, well, maybe I have. And one time we were in Central America during rainy season, and I guess it did.
Oh,
I mean, that's the hardest. And we were in Florida a couple of times where I've seen it just really rain, so, but not fill up the streets and fill up the roads and just start moving like that. You know, I think Central America was the, where it just was like, whoosh, the water just started moving down the road. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because I was looking at cars, seeing them with the top of the tire, and they kept saying about a pig wig, but it wasn't close to my house. But when I saw the picture, and they was in probably in a valley, like, because they had to be, because that store was covered all the way up to the roof. I said, oh, my God. So it was just underwater.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing how that could happen in one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it was coming so fast, one thing you could do. And they tell people, you know the area, don't drive in, because, you know, that water take it just like this. Because when they turned the corner, it was too late. When they turned that corner, that water grabbed them and kept going.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's so dangerous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, and if you don't know, if you've never been in it or around it, you don't really,
right.
It's hard to believe that it can happen so quickly like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of areas not that far from my house that, you know, feel a water like that. And I think about it, I'd be in the car, you better wait till I get out and get out your lane, because I'm not going through no water. Besides, you know, it could flood out your car, you know. The first car I had, you know, was kind of low out, you know. And I said, now my SUV is high. I said, but still, I don't take no chances. A lot of people do take chances because they think they're no SUV, they're high. They don't be up, you know, that water just take it off the ground and keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not good. Well, hey, is there any, do you have any prayer requests that you would like us to pray for?
Yeah, just continue pray for my little one. Someone, they're doing better. My cousin-in-law, she came out of ICU, so they got her trach in. And my niece-in-law, my nephew's wife, she's still doing about the same. She haven't woke up from the coma. But they did say, you know, she opened my eyes, but for some reason, she still haven't woken up yet.
Wow, that's been a while.
I think now. Got to be at least a month and 3 weeks. She still hasn't woke up.
Oh, wow.
Her eyes are open to move on, but there's no tracking, you know, nothing like that. And then she just closed them back.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Are they able to get, like, a brain read or anything, like a scan or any type of dysfunction there?
Oh, they said, well, one thing they know she had had two strokes, and then she got some blood clot. But like I said, that's been over 2 months ago. So they want to remove it, you know, most of it. They have to remove it once it happens, because after that, it's really not good. She's more like a, you know, a vegetable state, so it's not really. But I thought, they said, I don't know about it. My sister-in-law can't really tell me what happened, because she was saying something about the brain stem, but I guess it's not gone, because a lot of, I was reading where the brain stem, you know, when it's gone, the body doesn't do anything. So I guess her eyes open, you know, she's just in a deep vegetable state.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Okay, let's pray for your family.
Okay.
Father, we just lift up this family situation to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for their healing. God, we ask for your great mercy and your great grace. God, we thank you, Lord. And Ezekiel, Father, your word talks about as a great shepherd that you're concerned about those that are weak, God, whether it be spiritually, physically, God, or body, soul, or spirit, Father God, you're concerned with the weakness, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your word and declare it forth that you are the God that healeth thee, Lord. So we ask for a release on that, God, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen each one of these bodies, Father God, with restoration and restored health, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, just for your functioning role, Lord, within them through the blood of Jesus and the breath of God and the life of Christ, God, would be administered unto them, Father God, for newness and afresh and wholeness and healing in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word in Psalm 103, God, that says Lord, that you are worthy to be praised and that their souls would bless you. Just pray that personally, God, that you would not, they would not forget your benefits, who forgives all of their sins and heals all of their diseases. God, you redeem their life from the pit and they crown you. I crown them, God, with loving kindness and tender mercies, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would satisfy their years, God, and just renew them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So be notable, Julia May. I feel like for you to be notable, whether you write it down or journal or whatever, like any the verses specifically that that God would have you pray over your family members, Lord, that are ill and recovering, and so that the breath of God, I just feel like the breath of God and me praying how the life of Christ that is in you, that breath breathe life on the word and carry it forth and create something sustainable and health and healing for them, and that you have something to offer them later to say like, hey, the Lord gave me this passage or this prayer to pray for you. And I mean, as a testimony, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you really feel the Spirit move on you in the days ahead, just try to remember to capture that and write that down. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. It was good. Thanks for joining us. It's good talking to you. Too, bye. Bye. Okay. The next caller here, 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good to have you here. Glad you're hanging here tonight. Yeah. So, Father, we thank you for Jennifer, God. We just lift her up to your altar, God, and to your throne, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So I'm seeing a cup, and I don't know if it's like a science thing or a, so it's like this liquid that kind of like glows in the dark. And I don't know if it's some, the substance is, if it's something that the enemy is trying to throw you off with. But the nature of it is, I want to say childish because, but in the form of not that anything that you're doing, just to say that right, but the, but because it's glow in the dark, which is a childlike substance, and like minimal science, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's probably more to get it to glow in the dark, but, so Father, I just thank you, God, for that, Lord. I'm not sure exactly everything, Holy Spirit. But I thank you for its function. God, anything that's that's fractured or opposing the Holy Spirit in her life, Lord, we ask, Lord, that that you would clean that cup. God, Lord, I just ask for sure how that substance got there. I'm not sure if it was some type of altercation, that spiritual altercation that happened. Which that spiritual altercation. So the substance in the cup is somewhat like a cross between like a like a slime, I guess you would say, or like a silly putty, but like it has a little bit heavier density to it, maybe. And okay, but it's glowing. And it's green. So, the Father, I thank you, Lord. Let me look something up here real quick. Okay, so this is interesting. So I was going to say that, okay, there, okay, altercation. Okay, so the altercation, spiritual altercation. Okay, because even though that it sounds negative, it may not be. Because I was going to say that's very broad. Because, but my unction was to say that the light, because it was still light, that was coming from your essence inside of you, and your reflection, that it was light. Even though around the cup, I kind of see that it's obviously dark, or it wouldn't be glowing in the dark. So if I look parallel, perhaps, you know, but I look up, you know, what glow in the dark is. So what makes glow in the dark, right? It says it's a phosphorus. Okay. Can radiate light after they have gotten energy from the sun or another source of bright light. The phosphorus soak up the energy from the light, and then they radiate this energy as light. So the phosphorus, I might not be saying that phosphorus word right, phosphorescence maybe. Oh, no, phosphorescence is the kind of a luminous that uses phosphorus to make something glow in the dark. So these substances that are coming through, so an alteration of spiritual alteration. Okay, so something's happening spiritually. Okay, so this is not a negative picture. So the alteration, spiritual alteration, in your cup, there's something happening, but you're actually able to glow in the dark. And I don't know if it's, so you are actually being radiant. You're radiating the light and you're getting energy from the sun. And that's coming forth. So I'm not sure if it's just for the circumstances that you're in, you know, that are, that this spiritual alteration is happening. Okay, so, but there is, it is a little bit dark around you, and I don't even know if it's the season. I was going to ask you earlier if there's some type of, being October with Halloween coming up, if there's some type of association in your family with this time frame. Yeah, but it's, and, you know, how sometimes we can take things in, like I was kind of sharing today a little bit. I took things in the wrong way that were happening, and it actually wasted a lot of energy and time and thinking. And it wasn't even, I didn't necessarily lose my peace because I kept going back to, you know, my compass kept going back and filtering back to it. But I did waste a lot of energy with the circumstance that was happening around me, you know. And so that was the altercation, was actually changing me, but not in the way that I thought it was, you know, at the time, like during the duration of it. But the outcome of what Christ and the understanding, that was good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I'm seeing. And because it's the color green too, I'm seeing it in a cup of green. It has to do with growth too. I know a lot of glow-in-the-dark stuff too can be green as well. So anyway, that's what I have.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So it's around the cup that's dark?
See if I can see what this word is. This one word right here, because this might be like a conductor, which I'm kind of indicated that, but let's just see if this helps anything. Prophetically. Okay. I guess it's just more of a substance that exhibits the phenomenon of illuminescence. So that's what. There's a phenomenon that happens in there. But if there's, so if there's a phenomenon that happens with the substance, because the substance would, in my opinion, be you. And this alteration is spiritually happening. So something's happening and shaping and forming. Yeah, I mean, it's actually quite, I've never heard anything like it. It's actually quite interesting word to me. But one thing that I actually, and it's funny, I mean, I didn't think of this at the time until right now, but I really do like science because there's a creative nature to that, you know, and there's a creative element that happens to it. And I know that God is very, very passionate about creation himself, you know. And so I like that. So something, and I'm thinking like this, a spiritual alteration, you know, in your substance and how you're able, you know, in this phenomenon to even glow and this phenomenon even to radiate and illuminate the light back in a different way, you know. Isn't it? I find it interesting myself. Yes.
It is interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to speak more about that. I know the word that he gave me for 2021 was shine, and you know, I was asking him actually earlier today or yesterday, I can't remember, you know, it's almost the end of the year and I don't feel like I'm I'm shining very much, Lord. You know, I know there's, what, 80 uh-huh. days left of the year, but I was feeling like, you know, like what happened. So it's interesting, yes.
Yeah. Well, let me, okay, so when I, but when people are looking at your cup, see your cup or your vessel, you know, and seeing it different. So if you're allowing yourself to be seen in different ways, then your light could be shining more than you think it is, you know, just like, and especially if it's in the dark, if you're going into dark places and illuminating, okay, then you're illuminating your light into dark places. Be, you know, just like if you use a nightlight, they say that light is, most of them, now they come in medium and high, now they come in ranges, but it used to be the nightlight was just 7 watts. You know, a typical little nightlight was 7 watts, and in darkness, you know, that's enough to illuminate your way without getting hurt in, you know, almost a room and a half or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father, thank you.
Yeah, so that, Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so let me just pray. And do you have any prayer requests? Since I'm going to...
Just for my mind. My mind.
Okay. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Jennifer. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Although, Lord, we thank you, God, that you have the depth of the understanding, Lord, that you would bring it forth, Lord, that you certainly would bring the understanding, Father God, and even the parts that interest her, God, that you would continue to speak to her, Father God, just as the disciples on the road to Emmaus, God, their hearts burned within them, God. So the things that has her interest before you, Father, we pray, Lord, as we were in your word earlier, God, where they broke bread with you. You broke bread with them, and it says that you opened their eyes, Lord. And then we read the other verse, God, how you opened their minds, Lord, to understand. So, Lord, we pray for her mind, Father God, with the understanding and clarity, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, even with her, God, anything that would oppose the Holy Spirit in her life would be brought down. We bind the enemy and the oppressor. We bind the lies in Jesus' name that would trip her up, Father, in Jesus' name. We just bind that. And we thank you for the spirit of truth that you've given her that abides with her and remains with her to speak clearly and plainly to her. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. Okay, friends. 847-239. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you so much. I'm looking to watch the time. Father, we thank you for Stephanie, Lord. We just bring her to your kingdom, God, to your altar, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she's stepping up. I just seen you stepping up. Like in the midst of me praying, then you took a step up. And so we thank you, Lord, that she is ascending to your holy hill, God, and to your holy mountain, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And I'm pretty sure that's Psalm 24, but I'll go there in a second. So we thank you, Lord, even in the book of Psalms, I don't know, there's the Psalms of Ascent, and I'll have to Google what those psalms were in there, but it was actually they were going up to the house of the Lord. They were going up to the temple, and they kept going higher and higher and higher, these steps that led to the meeting place of the Lord and to be with the Lord. And so I see you doing that, taking steps, and he's raising you up as you're taking step, and he's raising you up. And I thank you for it, God. We thank you, Lord, for the path that you have for her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she would complete it, God, that she would arrive, God, at the holy temple, at your holy hill, Lord, and before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you establish her heart as blameless before you and your word and by your blood, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, God, just for even Ancient of Days speaking to her and leading her, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for having her as she walks in your word and walks in your ways, God, in Ancient of Days, Lord, that she's able to reach her generation. Even now, God, for your word says, and you, and with Moses, when he delivered the people, told them to continue to say that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're from generation to generation to generation. So, God, even the, like the fabric of your ways, Lord, is for this generation, Lord, and help her to be able to translate that as she's transformed and meeting with you, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, let me find something here. I don't have any windows open. Apparently, I'm a bad seller. Okay. I think the who may ascend, that is Psalm 24, who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn oaths deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the Lord of his salvation. This is the generation of those who diligently seek him and require him their greatest need. He will seek his face, even as Jacob did. Lift up your heads, O you gates. And then that's the one. And be lifted up, ancient doors. Oh, I didn't know that ancient was in there too. And the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. Lift them up, ancient doors. The King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, the King of Glory, who rules over all creation with his heavenly armies. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And then just real quick, the Psalms of Ascent. There's 15 Psalms of Ascent. You can look this up and do this later, or you may already know and be familiar with it. The Psalms 120. Through 134. So praise God.
Thank you for praying.
Yeah. Did you have any prayer requests?
No, I feel like you, like that was good. That was really good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. And be a blessing to those around you and your generation. God bless you for that. Stan,
okay, thank you.
Bless you for that. Thank you. Bye. I think she mutes her phone while she's talking. Okay. 709-500. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Dustia from Canada.
Did you say Dustin?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, I just want to make sure. I know you have a really nice accent, and I wasn't sure if I was pronouncing your name correctly. And I know we've talked before, we've prayed before, but I feel like I do it every time. But yes, okay. So good to have you here tonight. So praise God. Thank you for joining us. Father, I just thank you for Justin, Father God. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life, Lord. And so I see you lifting yourself up like Elijah had his cup, you know, the cup of Elijah, and he lifted it up. And his life is a sacrifice, you know, his yielding and sacrificing to the Lord. Even, you know, some people, I think people here understand, but some people don't really understand, too. If you're called to pray and if you're called to, like, consecrate yourself before the Lord, there's actually a process of work that comes with it. Like, and your day is not like that you didn't do anything all day. Some people don't actually understand the full aspect of when you're praying and when you're interceding, if you're carrying a burden or you're, again, consecrating yourself and coming before the Lord. It can look like to some people like, hey, you're not really doing it. You're not being productive, you know. But when things happen in the spirit first, And then God reveals things and they come, right? So what goes up must come down, some people say. And it prepares the way for it, it prepares the path. But I see you literally with your life, you. It's literally you lifting yourself up to the Lord as an offering and asking him to pour himself into you, you know. And even the like the oil, like filling you with the oil, and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit and with his goodness and his, you know, the fruits of righteousness, not even just the fruits of the Spirit, which, you know, it's like the Lord expects us to be an extension of the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruits of righteousness, which if you don't know anything about that, you can Google that later, of what's in Scripture. The scriptures that talk about the fruit of righteousness and just continually lifting yourself up to the Lord for him to pour himself into you. And I don't even know on the other part, that's the part that I'm seeing. Okay, let me just clarify that. That's what I'm seeing. It's literally you lifting yourself up to the Lord, you know, and it says, where have I read this or heard this before? When we lift our hands up, both of our hands up to the Lord, you know, from our shoulders, but more like in a V formation. That's kind of like a victory stance, that we're standing in victory unto him, that he will be mighty to battle for us and in our ways, and just like even declaring it. Even as we lift our hands, before we say a word, we're actually even declaring that we're surrendering and yielding to him and acknowledging his glory, his majesty, his power. And then when you pray on top of that, out of the abundance of your Holy Spirit, right, those, and I was talking earlier about those who worship in spirit and in truth, the Father is seeking such a one. And may you be filled with the Spirit. May your lamps be filled with oil and the anointing of Christ on your life for what you're asking for. May you bring great glory to his name, great honor to his presence. And may there be an establishment as well, saying like a stake, like your feet can be even like stakes in the ground. Where he has you, that you are just unmoving and not in like a stubborn way, but like stakes in the ground. When it used to be before they built the temple, where they had the tent, and then they would put a like a fence around it, but it was obviously, it had to be tethered on both sides dispensed, you know, just as a property line type of a thing for the tent. And it later became representation, the tethering of both sides of it for it to represent one was spirit, the one was the Holy Spirit, and the other one was the Word. So spirit and truth, they balanced each other out, which kept it tethered, which kept it where it needed to be. You know, it couldn't be, one couldn't be more taut than the other or slack than the other. You know, it's two things. And I heard a pastor speak this weekend on, give the analogy of a train track, right? And you can't, if you derail either one of those, if you go either side of those in error, it will derail a train. You know, but that we have the balance in spirit and in truth. But I really do see you, going back to what I'm seeing, is you lifting yourself up to the Lord, however you do. And I've had that prayer, consecration, and whatever there's a infilling, him filling you. And I really do sense the anointing and oil being filled in your life. And so I thank you, Lord, and I'm just going to spontaneously pray. That's what I'm seeing. So that's, and now I'm going to pray. But if I'm seeing anything else, I'm praying, I'll make sure that I say I'm seeing it. But now I'm just going to pray into what I've already seen. So Father, I just thank you because we spoke a little bit earlier this evening about in Luke 24, where Jesus was telling his disciples to touch his hands and to look and to touch his hands and to touch his feet and the anointing that comes with that, God. So we pray, Lord, that you would touch his hands and his feet, Father God, that you would lead him, Lord, on an anointed path, Lord, and a path that has instructions, God, and that he can stand in, Lord. And I think that's why I was even seeing you, like your feet being staked. Your feet being staked in the ground, because once Christ calls you there, you're able to stand and to stand firmly on truth. And truth, well, with the grace being, again, spirit and in truth. So I thank you for that, Father God. And Lord, I don't know specifically what the anointing is for. I know and at large. What the anointing is for, Father God, but if you have a specific call, a specific measure, God, a specific thing, Father God, I pray as far as this anointing goes, Lord, I just pray that you would clarify that he would be able to function clearly in its role as a representation of you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would keep his ways blameless before you. And, you know, even David said that he was blameless, and it was because he understood the ways of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of the Lord and what the Lord called him to do. And when we walk in the Lord's ways, we can say that we are blameless because we do it God's way. And God is always building us up for success and preparing us. That's why he has even given us his peace. For success and building us up and causing us to triumph, really, in Christ Jesus, and even being partakers of his blood, his body, and his blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, amen.
Thank you. Do you have a prayer request?
No, thank you.
Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to pray for you. Okay, take care. Bye. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. We have one more caller here. 972, 3 good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Deborah. This is Rhonda from Texas. I was just listening in and enjoying the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm better. We had a rough summer. Well, my mother-in-law passed away, I think about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, she had been battling dementia for some time.
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss.
Yeah, but you know what? She lived a good life. to see 87. She would have been 88 October the 2nd. And, you know, of course, my husband has been sad, you know, because that's his mom. And we had brought her out here to take care of her. But, you know, we can rejoice in the times that, you know, we shared with her and everything the Lord allowed us to do while she was here and just different things, you know, that transpired along that. Because, you know, we sad, of course, but I remember when she came here in 2019, she was asleep one day, and I was at work. My husband was at home, and he said she woke up out of a dream, but it's like she was still dreaming. And she was telling him she still had a dream that I was in heaven. And she explained everything she seen. She told him, she said, yes, she said, I seen Jesus. She said he was a man with long hair, with a beard. And I said, that was touching. I said, because, you know, we have a lot of people that go back and forth about Jesus' skin color and all that, and she never described that. She just described his hair being long and a beard and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, she kept talking, and she was saying how beautiful it was there, but one thing she told him when she, you know, she was like she was still asleep. She said, well, she said, one thing he told me is that, you know, when I do pass away, that I'm coming to heaven. Heaven is my home. And she also told my husband, she said that I believe he also told me that my time is almost up here. And that's one thing that we was able to go back and listen to and reflect on and, you know, just helped us to deal with our grief, because, you know, even though people are older sometimes and they pass away, it still hurts, you know, because with us, with our flesh, we want people to live forever. But, you know, that's not God's will for us to live forever in this earth, you know, in our eternal home, we're going to live forever. And it was just so touching, because just listening to the video and how it's like she was in heaven, you know, up there with Jesus, but he was allowing her to share certain things with us. And, like, you know, it was, you know, detail, and then, like, something, you know, she didn't say. So that helped us. And then also the family members out there that were struggling with it and stuff like that. And like I said, we had a rough time. But, again, you know, when you know that she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she believed that in her heart, and, you know, we always had a good time here, because I would put on worship music. Even though she battled with dementia, I played worship music almost every day for her, different songs that she was singing, and she knew them. She knew every last one of them. And I said, it's amazing how people can battle dementia and forget who family members are, but can remember gospel songs, word for word, and songs they may have sang, you know, when they were children or stuff like that. So it's a rejoicing time, because, like I said, we know where she's at, and we know that we'll see her again.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was nice for you to honor her and have her in your home while you could, you know. It does take some time to grieve and to, because I know both John and I, our parents are, I lost my dad over 20 years ago, but my mom passed last December, so that hasn't been a year yet, and then his dad passed in February, just like it'll be 2 years this February. And then, actually, I haven't mentioned this, but it's funny that you called tonight, because I did think of you today. And because my mother-in-law, she moved in with us a few months ago, and she has dementia, and she's 87, so I didn't realize that part is the same. But I remember you talking about you just praying the Spirit a lot, and so that's one thing that I have been doing. But she's getting ready, actually, to say, and thank God my husband is such a great supporter, or I wouldn't even be able to come on Tuesday nights, you know, but he is with her mom, and that it just works out nicely for the both of them, too. But she is going to be going into assisted living because, you know, there's just some things happening that are, it's time for that to happen, you know. So But anyways, I did think of you today and did think of that was encouraging that you shared that in your servant's heart to serve her and to come alongside of her. But to even just pray in the spirit, I thought it was a very, that's been actually very helpful and very functional thing. But I think I might start playing more worship music and see.
Maybe that'll help her spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did, because with dementia, some days she would be aggravated because she wanted to be at home in North Carolina, and she realized she wasn't there. So I would turn on One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. That's one song she loved. And then another song, I think it was by Jimmy Swaggart's daughter, I Know a Man Who Can. And I mean, she would, not only would she sing them, she would sometimes close her eyes and hold her hands up and just begin to worship him. And it was such just amazing time, because you could feel his presence around her when she was just worshiping him. And then it's another song, God on the Mountain, He's Still God in the Valley. She loved that song. And Precious Lord, she loved that song. So I would play those songs, like when I would get her up to give her a bath and stuff, I would play those songs. And then, like I said, her dementia, when it started getting worse, and she would want to just sleep some days, I would still play it. But when she would hear that, she would wake up and she would worship the Lord and things like that. And, you know, it is a hard task, and my husband and I were doing it and working our jobs, because, you know, they was like, well, to hire somebody to take care of her is more expensive because she has dementia. So we just said, well, we would do it on our own. And my daughter lived there, but she works all day at a, like, downtown. So she's like an hour going to work, an hour coming back. So we worked it around our schedules. And, you know, one thing about her, she always used to tell us, she said, you know, if I never get to tell y'all, I appreciate everything that y'all are doing. She said, because you didn't have to do it. And she said, I just thank y'all. She said, because some days I know I might not be in my right mind. And she said that. She said, so I want to be able to tell y'all, thank y'all, and I love y'all. She started doing that, you know, toward the end. She would say that a lot. I'm grateful that we got to, you know, spend her last moments with her and just, you know, let her know we love her. And like I said, she knew the Lord, so she knew where she's going, you know, when he take her. So we were blessed to know that as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, my mother-in-law said. But let me pray for you before we end here. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, God, for Rhonda, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for her, Lord. There is a, and as long as it's called a, inscription. I don't know if it's called inscription or script. The, well, it's more like, I don't know if it's a, maybe that's the font thing I'm thinking of, but the, if people have like a monogram of, they have that inscription, you know, like the script, it's a very scriptive lettering, I guess that's what it is, the scriptive lettering, but that's like a monogram, your first three letters of your name. And technically that is placed on, if you get it on clothing, it always goes on the left side technically, because it's closest to your heart. So I'm seeing, you know, like this, I don't know if you just the, I was going to say identification, but that seemed, that is probably the right word, but it didn't seem as, of you and Christ together, like the inscription, the script, who you are on your heart, but identifying with Christ as it comes out as you wear Christ on your heart as well, right? Where it says, his, and I don't know if it's the Amplified, but it talks about our names are ascribed. Our names are ascribed in the palms of his hands. And the ascription that you have is your name, you know, and it's very, they can be very fancy and they're kind of hard to see, but they're really just done mostly kind of for you. I mean, other people can see it, but it is something that is just a, that's worn for the person. And so I'm just seeing that as where you identify with Christ and Christ identifies with you. And, you know, that you're not, and of course you're not, I mean, everyone at PGN knows you're not boastful about things. You just, you have a servant's heart, you know, and you do it for the glory of God. You want God to receive glory, but it's not, you know, because you're trying to radiate something more than others that is boastful in any way. But a true reflection. And so I'm just seeing the identification, and I'm not sure, it's just, maybe it's just the personable, your personable aspect truly of who you are, and just in the beauty of that, that you can wear it with dignity and with grace, and where he identifies with you as well, you know, but having each other, you know, you on his mind and him in your heart, you know.
That's very powerful, very, very, very powerful. That's a very powerful word, and I receive it.
Yeah, amen. It is powerful, yeah, because even people are drawn to it sometimes, like, hey, where did you get that? You know, like, they, I don't know if the South where you are, but where I am, in the city at one time a few years ago, everybody had like this monogrammed thing, you know, and my mom was coming to town at the time. And I said, I got her a Carolina blue, just like a vest, like a fleece vest kind of a thing. And got her monogrammed with her initials on it and stuff. In fact, when she, I mean, I just thought of that now, I didn't think of that when I was calling that word, but, anyways, when my mom passed last December, I seen it in her closet, and I said, "Oh, I bought this for her. I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna take this, you know, home with me, you know."
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. But, God is so strategic, because I think sometimes when we go through things and the enemy, because before my mother-in-law died, I think I kind of went through something. And I knew that it was the enemy. Sometimes you don't know which direction it's coming from, because sometimes the enemy will use people that's close to you or people that know you and try to launch attacks. But one thing the Lord showed me is that no matter what he tries to do to you, but if the word of God is inside of you and the love of Christ is in your heart, there's nothing he can do, because he cannot make you renounce your faith. He cannot take anything from you. And I think he just showed me my strength, you know, because the word tells us that when we are weak, we are strong in Christ. And, you know, like I said, it was rough there for a little while, but because I didn't have an appetite or anything to eat. And I wasn't sick. I was just kind of like just down. But the Lord kept showing me that, you know, that these weapons may form against you, but they will not prosper. And he also just showed me that just how it's so much evil and wickedness that's in this world, and that the church, a lot of people that are in the church, that's what they're, I mean, that's their whole thing, is the idea of being in church. And he was showing me that, you know, not only the word, he said, it's not something that, you know, you only quote. He said, but it's something that you got to live. He said, because a lot of people today are quick to quote scriptures, but they're not living it. And he was just showing me so many things, but it helped strengthen me through the time to know that when we're in Christ and our salvation is in him, that whatever the enemy may try to bring up against you, like the wind may try to blow you over, you might go from side to side, but because of your foundation is in solid in Christ, he can't blow you, you know, off of that foundation or blow you, you know, out of sight. So
right.
It's a lot of stuff I was able to intake, and like I was praying in the spirit is one thing that got me through it, praying in the spirit. And I said, that's one thing that we can take with us and know that that's a weapon of warfare, to pray in the spirit, because the enemy don't know what you're praying. He don't know what's going on. All he knows is it's a transaction being made, but he's not able to, you know, come against that.
Yeah.
So that helped me a lot. Yeah, it helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's really good, and that reminds me of Isaiah 61, where it talks about being oaks of righteousness. But that is a good word, girl. I know I have to end because the program, Randy is going to be coming on tonight. But that's a good word. Thank you so much for sharing it. That's very powerful and a good word about the enemy being strategic and very, very good. Even some stuff we opened with, you ended with. So that's a good wrap-up, too. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, too, and thank you.
Thank you.
And I was
take care.
Listening. I was listening in. Okay, you two have a blessed week.
Okay, I know. We could talk to you more, but hey, next week.
That's okay.
But thank you.
Thank you for praying.
That was the spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
So
thank you.
God bless you.
Yes,
bye.
God bless you. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone. Good night. Thank you so much for joining us.